Let us pray to the Lord. Gracious and holy Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for leading us to this first Sunday of our brand new church year. And it's a year that we are reminded by your Holy Spirit to check our allegiances, that we belong to Christ. Indeed, the very moniker Christian means Christ's possession, belonging to Christ. And we confess, as your people who belong to you, that you are the King of Kings. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your perfect reign, for leading us and guiding us to know the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, and to know that we have already been guaranteed the future kingdom of glory. May this excite us and empower us as we go through this life. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there's a lot going on in the terminology kingdom. We hear it all the time. In the Old Testament, we hear about God establishing the kingdom of Israel. You know, the Israelites, they looked around, they wanted to be like the nations surrounding them. Instead of being more devoted to God, they wanted to imitate and emulate the kingdoms of the world, the many kingdoms of the land, the political kingdoms, the kingdoms of power and might, the kingdoms led by kings very ambitious to make their names for themselves in history. To this day, we talk about kingdoms. One of our most important allies in the world, in the United States of America, is the United Kingdom, right? We talk about kingdoms all the time. And we see how the kingdom of Israel had many troubles as a kingdom. They started to implode. They started to fall into idolatry, not living according to the Torah, the instruction of God, but living rather according to their own ambitions. And they turned their backs on God. So their United Kingdom became a divided kingdom. The United Kingdom of Israel became the Northern Kingdom and the Southern Kingdom. And we see what happens to this day. Follow maps over the history of time. Do your homework of history. And you see how the kingdoms of this world are always shuffling and being rearranged on maps over history. And it depicts our instability as people. But let's talk about the most important versions of kingdom. And this is all part of the introduction if you want to take notes. We celebrate this revelation from God's Word. According to the Word of God, we know that there are three kingdoms. There are three kingdoms. We know from God's Word that there is a what we refer to as the kingdom of power. The kingdom of power. And this is depicted in Romans chapter 13. Yesterday in our daily readings, we're going through the Bible in 2025. We see it also in 1 Peter chapter 2. There are scriptures devoted how God establishes the civil realm governments. God is in control. God is in charge. He's always the king over all the kingdoms. But this is a political kingdom. This is a kingdom of power. We say that because what is politics essentially about? It's about power. What's often left out in our conversation about the kingdom of power, a legitimate biblical kingdom, is that kingdom also includes all the angels, all of creation in the universe. And remember, there are fallen angels, and those fallen angels are demons. That means the kingdom of power also includes the demonic. Who is the King of Kings even over the demons? God is. God is the King of Kings. Satan can only do what God permits him to do. That's how powerful the King of Kings is. Satan can't do anything on his own. He has to fall under the auspices and the power of God himself. It's very interesting, as I was preparing for this, I noted in Matthew chapter 12, I didn't see Francis Pieper mentioning this, but in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus, who's accused of being Beelzebul, the prince of demons, teaches that it wouldn't make any sense that he's exercising demons and fighting against his own kingdom. And he mentions about a kingdom divided against himself, against itself. And he says in that passage in Matthew chapter 12 that Satan's kingdom would otherwise be divided against itself. Jesus himself refers to Satan's kingdom. Now, that's a kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of the demonic. But it's the subset of the kingdom of power of which God is still in utter control. And that's why Christians don't have to fear darkness and the demonic. According to James chapter 2, resist the devil and he will flee from you because you are marked by the King of Kings. And what the devil's always trying to do is convince you that you are weak, that you are vulnerable, and that you are helpless. And so when you feel threatened, he wants to tempt us to live in fear. And we have the ability as children of the King to tell him to take a hike. Get thee behind me, Satan, as Jesus once said to Peter when he became overly enthusiastic. That's the kingdom of power. God's in control. There's also the kingdom of grace, which is synonymous with the kingdom of the church. Here, God isn't into exerting power. It's not about earthly power. It's not about control. It's not about manipulation. The church is utterly different in the kingdom of grace. This is why we can never permit the merging of the kingdom of power with the kingdom of grace. Once the church on earth becomes political, we lose our very identity as the kingdom of grace, the kingdom of the church. How does Jesus rule in the kingdom of grace and the kingdom of church? He rules by his grace, known through his word and his sacraments. His kingdom of grace is about your forgiveness. His kingdom of grace is about his compassion upon you every day of your lives. His kingdom of grace is about his love and his mercy and his keeping his promise that he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. It's free, a free gift that you enjoy every single day. And my brothers and sisters, Satan is totally into us getting into the kingdom of power. It's all about the kingdom of power in the world. Just turn on your television. How often does ABC News start off with something on the church on earth? It's about the kingdom of power, to raise fear in us. But you have the kingdom of grace. Have no fear, little flock, for the Father is pleased to give you the kingdom, Jesus says. So part of the sin we need to confess today, brothers and sisters, is our tendency to totally underestimate the kingdom of grace. When you have the word of Christ within you, the very body and blood of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we have nothing to fear. Yet how often we fall into fear, as if we are forgetting that we are citizens not only of the kingdom of power, but also the kingdom of grace. But there's another kingdom. And this is the one we probably just don't talk about enough. Lutheran theologians, especially systematicians, like to talk about the two kingdoms. And we forget the other one. Shame on us. It is called the kingdom of glory. The kingdom of glory. And the kingdom of glory is the heavenly kingdom. Sometimes as Jesus is teaching his parables, he uses a synonymous phraseology. He says, the kingdom of God is like. In other parables, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like. What's the difference? No difference. The kingdom of glory is when you and I will be in the glorious presence of God. A lot going on these days, going into the holidays. My dear wife, going through what she's going through. My dear Veronica, going through what she's going through, though she had some great news as past week. What day was it with the ringing? Tuesday. Got to ring the bell. Praise God. Finished her chemotherapy, making great progress. We had Eve of Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving morning at Chalk Hospital with my granddaughter Malia, who's doing so much better. She's been released. She's doing great. Thanks be to God. We get to have these struggles so that we would call on the name of the Lord and know that our King is always, always present with us. But we underestimate the kingdom of glory. I mentioned these things, illness, injuries, aging, all these things. But in the kingdom of glory, according to the word of God, all of these things are going to pass. In the kingdom of glory, just think of Jesus when he rose again from the dead, his resurrection. His body was glorious. And it was quite touchable because it was his real body that rose from the dead. One of the things you are inheriting in the kingdom of glory is a magnificent, glorious body. All of your ills, all the things you're taking pills for right now, out the window, completely gone. You will be vibrant. You will be abounding in energy and strength and the glory of God. And you will embrace those who are in the kingdom with you with real arms and real bodies. And you will enjoy the heavenly feast in a way that you could never possibly be bored. I've asked people have asked me, but won't we get bored? And I tell them the story about my little Christina. When she was five that year, when we lived in Aliso Viejo, someone in the congregation gifted us with Disney annual passes. And that was the year when I was taking little Christina to Disneyland every Monday on my day off. And I got to the point that I determined if I heard It's a Small World one more time. But I'm taking her around all day long, all through Disneyland, the Magic Kingdom. And no matter how tired she got, I would ask her the question, do you want to go home now? And every single time she said no. Imagine that, but on steroids. That is the kingdom of glory. We are to look forward to it. We are to be energized by it. We should be with bated breath, yearning for that glory that is to come. But we get distracted along the way, don't we? And that's what we need to address today. And so going into the rest of the outline, beginning at part one, the king. Whenever we talk about kingdoms, it's important to begin with the king. Many people will ask the basic question, where is the kingdom of God? Growing up early on, one of my favorite Bible passages when I was 18 years old, when I first was confirmed in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod at 18, it was a big deal to leave my family's Roman Catholicism. One of my favorite verses was Matthew 6:33. I'm sure many of you have it memorized. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you as well. To me, it kind of begs the question, okay, seek first the kingdom of God. Where is that? And the answer to that is wherever the king is. Wherever the king is, there is the kingdom of God. Here is the kingdom of God. The baptismal font is the kingdom of God. When you are in fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ who have the Spirit of Christ within them, there is the kingdom of God. Jesus said the kingdom of God is in your midst because the Lord Jesus is in your midst. This king who marks this kingdom is amazing in what he brings to us. This is St. Athanasius on the Incarnation. And this is page 35. For the solidarity of mankind is such that by virtue of the words indwelling in a single human body, the corruption which goes with death has lost its power over all. You know how it is when some great king enters a large city and dwells in one of its houses. Because of his dwelling in the single house, the whole city is honored, and enemies and robbers cease to molest it. Even so, it is with the King of all. He's come into our country and dwelt in one body amidst the many, and in consequence, the designs of the enemy against mankind have been foiled. So far, Saint Athanasius. This is the King who dwells with us. And just as the King is a special King, the people are a special people. Yep, I said it. You are a special people. You are King's people. You are King's women and King's men. Yes, because we're also in the kingdom of power, we know the things of power even within us that rage, the conflict that is within us that rages, our own sin we have to confront every single day. But it is not a standoff between your sinful nature and your born-again spirit. It's not a standoff. God takes you over the flesh because you have the Spirit of the living God. Christ dwells in you. You are his house, and we are his house, and individually he lives within you as well. That marks you as a peculiar people. And you think of all the special ways that people of faith are referred to in God's word. You are, for example, a holy people, a royal priesthood. You are disciples. You are heirs of God. All of these things describe you as a peculiar people in the kingdom. And when you take the special King and the special people and you compare it with the false and fraudulent kingdoms of this world, there is a vast difference between them. So here on page 9 on top, I mentioned the mind, C, the mind, D, the life. What is the mind of the King of Kings and his people like compared to the mind of the people who only know the kingdom of power and sin? There's a vast difference. And in the mind of the King of Kings and those who belong to him, it is marked by humility. You might think it's strange that we have a scene for Palm Sunday, for the first Sunday in Advent, but it's not strange, because it's telling us about our King. He comes on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey, to show his humility, his gentleness. My dad was big and strong. Journeyman mechanic, always dealing with steel and tractors and diesels. But he was kind. And I knew when he got home, I could jump all over him like a jungle gym. You know Jesus, your King, is humble. So you're drawn to him. And you know you have nothing to fear, that he will receive you every time. The world is not like that. The world's kingdoms are marked by pride and arrogance. And it pushes us away for a reason and alienates us for a reason. And then we look at the life. The life. Here we had to add a little bit to the epistle lesson from Romans 13, and when we had it printed inside the bulletin, we added some extra verses. Because in Romans 13, what comes before the part that's put at the back of your bulletin is a life that is marked by love. The King, and the King's people, when they live out their life, not just the mind and the attitude of humility, but the actions and behavior and the life is marked by love. The King of Kings' life is marked by love. And your life, when it's different from the world, is marked by love. But in the kingdom of power, it's marked by usefulness, utility. What can you do for me today? Yeah, I have friends. I have friends as long as I can use them, says the world. As long as they're benefit for me, I'll have those kinds of friends. But love just loves. It just loves. And that's the mark of kingdom people. Please go down to part 2. I wanted to blow up our Old Testament reading and give you the entire chapter from Isaiah chapter 2. This is not just ancient history to put on the shelf. It teaches us tremendously what Isaiah was addressing with the southern kingdom of Judah and the holy city of Jerusalem, where God's people forgot about living as kingdom people and went along with the kingdom of the world, and disaster resulted. But look, we can see a comparison within this chapter. The first comparison, one side is the kingdom of men and their making. You'll see at part 2a of man, I have three characteristics marked out. What do we have describing the kingdom of man? Number one, Isaiah 2, 6 to 7. What you see is the occult and treasures. I don't think it's my imagination. About 30 years ago, I could walk in to a bookstore and I'd see a very long section on Christian theology. Now I walk into a bookstore and I see a very long section on the occult. Learn how to cast spells and stuff. The occult. And treasures. Satan wants to convince us what the kingdom is all about. It's all about whoever wins with the most toys wins. Whoever dies with the most toys wins. Go and collect your stuff. 2:8. Idols, false gods, and self-aggrandizement. Look at what I've made. Look at what I've done. The pride of men. 2:17, haughtiness and pride, making ourselves above others. Okay, let's read them together so it sinks in. This is what the kingdom of man looks like. Let's first go to Isaiah 2, 6 to 7. This is on page 10. Let's read together 6 through 7. This first characteristic of the kingdom of men, occult and treasures, we read together. For you have rejected your people, the house of Jacob, because they are full of things from the east and of fortune tellers like the Philistines, and they strike hands with the children of foreigners. Their land is filled with silver and gold, and there is no end to their treasures. Their land is filled with horses, and there is no end to their chariots. And now we look at the second characteristic of man's kingdom, idols and self-aggrandizement. Please, let's read together just verse 8. Their land is filled with idols. They bow down to the work of their hands, to what their own fingers have made. And finally, 2:17, haughtiness and pride. Verse 17, we read together. And the haughtiness of man shall be humbled, and the lofty pride of men shall be brought low, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. Heaven forbid that when we gather for Thanksgiving and Advent and Christmas, that our family discussions do not center around getting larger TVs, but may they rather be about the love of God in our lives in Christ Jesus and how we can serve one another. What about the kingdom of God? Let's start with verse 2. Let's read verse 2 together. Now we're in the kingdom of God. Let's read about that. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. I want to bring out the word established. It's easy to let it go by. The word in Hebrew means firm. It means with pillars. It means it ain't going anywhere. No matter the tumult of this world, it will not change. Every other kingdom on this earth will, but not God's kingdom. It's established. Look at the other one. Verse 4, I think you'll like this one. Let's read verse 4.
He shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many peoples, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore.
Wow. I'm really praying that this time around we can work out something between Russia and Ukraine. Long enough, man. It's been long enough. To say nothing of the wars in the Middle East. Our God is not about wars. He's about peace. See how these implements of war are going to be turned into implements of farming and what's good for people. One more. This is verse 5. Let's read together.
O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord.
According to Scripture in the Psalms, if you walk in the light of the Lord, it's because you see light. And if you see light, it's because you see the King. You see the one who said, I am the light of the world. You walk in the light, and all is well. And brothers and sisters in Christ, it begins right now with us. As good Lutherans in our theology, we say that the kingdom of God is both now and not yet. The glory we can't see with our eyes right now in its full array, but it's already now, and that it's given to you so that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. For many years now, I've known Frederick Olu. He's a deacon with the Lutheran Church in Kenya. And he has one request for Christmas. He wants $400 to build a really nice house for Kenya standards. And because he's taking care of his family, but also a child from his deceased brother, and because he serves so faithfully in the church, I'd like to contribute to that house in Kenya. And the reason I mention that, here is a man who lives in our standards in abject poverty. But Frederick Olu, this deacon, is full of joy. It seems like every time he sends a text to me, he's like, praise Jesus, Pastor. And I learn from him. I learn what's important in life, how to hold to the right kingdom and not to the kingdom of this world. I want to live more like Frederick Olu. I know it's harder because we live in South County. And houses cost a lot more than $400. But with God on our side and with calling out on the name of the Lord, the King of Kings, he shall show us what it means to live in his kingdom, to value the right things, to walk in the right ways, to remain in his light, the light of the King. And now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Amen.